You've been so good to us. We worship you here now, Lord, through the study of your word. We worship you through studying your word and doing what you say and what you command in your word. Lead us and guide us now by your Holy Spirit. Help us to know more about this mystery of how the Lord Jesus descended into Hades and preached to spirits that are in prison. Help us to understand this great mystery more and more. Lead us and guide us. Speak to us now through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. For those that were at that study last night, that's led me to record that on audio, and that's what I'm going to do here sometime today to have that play tomorrow, entitled The False Prophet. What an important character. What an important, as I like to call these guys, end times players. From angels that were created for the person of for the purpose of slaying a third of mankind that are tied underneath the Euphrates River. That's why I always say, man, oh man, don't go swimming in the Euphrates River, whatever you do. There's some serious demons down there waiting for the call, waiting to have those chains removed, waiting. And the time, as we see, because Jesus gave us signs to know when that time was near. Wars, rumors of war. Now you say, well, there's always been war, and that's right, there has. So help us to understand, Pastor Paul. Okay, let me try to help you. My understanding is that when you see all of these things simultaneously, that's how you'll know. When you see all of these things, recognize my return is near, even at the doors. Wars, COVID-19, otherwise aka pestilence. Yeah, you've always had it. Yeah, but pestilence. And now pestilence is morphing into no one can buy or sell. You see, this is the first time now in my recollection that you have a modern day thing that's going on that's prophetic in nature, that is pestilence, that you can make a complete sentence out of it and put it in the book of Revelation, and you can see with your own eyes how that could belong and make sense to you. The vaccine, let's try that. So that no one can buy or sell. Or I'm trying to organize a trip to Israel, and I'm finding out that no one can fly or sell except he that has the vaccine. And that's the age that we're living in. You see, this is what sets this time apart from all the others. First of all, from the last 1900 years, because there's an airplane now, many will run to and fro the same thing they said to Daniel 2,500 years ago. So how those people would know it was the time. Many will run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. I got a phone right here in my hand that's got 256 gigabytes of memory. I have Bibles and theological books on here that you would take a crane to lift up. Many will run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. This is how you'll know you're living in the time. Pestilence, COVID-19, the government forcing things on you in order to get along. Wars, reports of wars, earthquakes, because and Christians being killed because of the name of Jesus, right? They've been going on for 2,000 years. But when you add all these things together, pestilence, earthquakes, famines, COVID-19, Christians being killed because of the name, and then nation, or actually that's ethnos, will rise up against ethnos. Now remember, Fred, ethnos means ethnic group, not just Ethiopia against China, but ethnic group against ethnic group. These are the signs that you'll know. And oh boy, they're all being fulfilled all around us. That's why I'm going to redo the study from last night if you missed it. And that'll play on the radio here. If you want a copy of it, write to me, paul@wmiefm.com. If you like programs like this or what you're going to hear tomorrow, you've heard from me on this program before, I invite you to either come by the church, or if you go to a church, please don't offend your pastor and don't get up and leave, but get some more Word of God into you. Go to my podcasting page, which is WGODradio.com. You'll find a link that says prior broadcast. You'll find 10 years worth of programs on there. Listen to these programs. God wants you to be a spiritual giant. But he'll say to you probably the same thing that he says to me, and that is, how bad do you want it? All right, now today we're going to wrap up this program here. I've entitled Suffering. It's 1 Peter chapter 3. This was the main reason Peter was writing this, is because of all the suffering that was going on with these early first century Christians. And Peter's trying to help them, to show them that no one has suffered like Jesus has. And he's going to teach a little bit on that here today. And we'll be back again next week with the next chapter here in this installment, 1 Peter chapter 4 and then 5. And then I'm going to be teaching 2 Peter at the church. But so we'll wrap this up today. Tomorrow, stay tuned for the false prophet.
What else can you say? That slays me, that verse. Not only is he going to bring you to God, he's promised that when you leave this world, be it today or tomorrow, or when he comes back, he's going to bring you to God, the Father. And umanande, you're going to sit with him on his throne. Makes you want to shout. Makes me love him even more. Those that have been forgiven of much, love much. Jesus Christ has brought us to God. Romans 5 and 2 says, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Jesus Christ has brought us to God. You see, when you operate in constant remembrance of that glorious fact, then the door gets open and an opportunity presents itself for you to tell others why you're different than everyone else out here in this evil world. Or this, for there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. All, that's A-L-L. To be testified in due time. Well, it's due time now. Let's praise his name in this church this morning. Jesus died in your place. He gave his life as a ransom for all, and that includes you and as many as will call on the name of the Lord. That's what we believe in this church. Salvation is available to all. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord. Now, next up in this verse, in this text here, will take us to the most difficult portion of Scripture in the entire Bible. Let's read through it again, starting at the top of verse 18. Okay. I think I've got the answer to this. We'll see. Don't mean to sound arrogant, but I think we'll come up with the answer. Verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Everyone with us so far, right? Suffered once, not twice. The just for the unjust. He was sinless. He didn't deserve it. We did. that he might bring us to God. I guess he's already done that. I believe and hope that's going to happen again, literally, sometime in the future. Being put to death in the flesh, died on the cross, right? But made alive by the Spirit. By whom, that's the Spirit, he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Now, my take on this, you know, I like to use the word, this is God's green room, Hades. Remember last week's sermon, I said we're three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. Now, these spirits, they all went down after death and stayed down. The believers, we know, who were on the other side of this Hades, were all set free. For when Jesus ascended on high, the Bible says he led captivity captive. We believe, I think my brother here probably believes the same thing, that when Jesus died, like the Apostles' Creed says, he descended into what's called hell. It's Hades. And he went and he released everyone with faith. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Methuselah, Moses, Elijah. Well, not Elijah, I pick him. All of the righteous dead since Adam. We're in, let's call it, Jesus called it, Abraham's bosom. Also, Matthew chapter 27, verse 52, shows us these righteous dead were even seen in Jerusalem after he died. There was an earthquake, and those righteous, some of them that had died, were seen in Jerusalem. I always like to believe the centurion, Greg, he saw his Uncle Harry walking down the street, who died 25 years earlier. Here comes Uncle Harry walking down the street and said, surely this is the Son of God. All of these righteous dead are walking down the street. Why? Because Jesus went down. And the Bible says, no one has ascended into heaven except for the Son of Man who is in heaven. Jesus is the first one to be raised up from the dead, the Bible says. Permanently, never to see death again. Lazarus and others notwithstanding, they had to die. So he clears out Abraham's bosom. All the righteous dead are gone. And who's left? We're going to find out. Jesus goes down. Hades is full. On the one side, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Adam, Eve, even Methuselah. And on the other side, this group here, verse 20, who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls were saved through water. Difficult text. I just got 35, or actually 70 eyes. Oh, God help me. John MacArthur has an interesting interpretation of this. He says, between Christ's death and resurrection, his living spirit went to the demon spirits bound in the abyss and proclaimed that in spite of his death, he had triumphed over them, with the phrase spirits in prison referring to fallen angels. Now I got a confused Englishman, look number 7. Fallen angels, those that sinned. Remember Genesis, we read that there were giants on the earth in those days and the angels sinned against God. And the angels, Peter and Jude write, were reserved unto darkness for the judgment of that great day. God locked up the angels that sinned. And this is one of the places that they're locked up. We read about a place called Tartarus, maybe the same place, and this here. These angels are in chains of darkness waiting for judgment. Now, I agree with that, by the way. We read in Colossians chapter 2 that when he is, that having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them. I believe that took place down there in hell. Now, the second interpretation is that Peter is describing what happened in the days of Noah, not in his resurrection. Let me explain that a little. It was the Spirit of Christ who preached through Noah to the unbelieving generation before the flood. They were not disembodied spirits at that time, but they were living men and women who rejected the warnings of Noah and were destroyed by the flood. So now they are spirits in the prison of Hades. I don't care for that viewpoint. Let me tell you why. The Spirit of Christ was in Noah and he preached 120 years and he couldn't save one person. Even I've done better than that, Darren. One, you have the Spirit of Jesus inside Noah. Preached 120 years and couldn't come up with one convert. I don't believe that. I think he could have. I mean, and the only ones were his family because they felt bad for him or something, or he forced them in. Right? You better get into that ark or I'm going to. Those are the only the Son of God could come up with for 120 years. I don't believe that. No, I think he went down here like this seems to imply and preached to these spirits in prison. Okay, now, to add a little more controversy to where we're at, Peter's going to add his opinion of baptism to the equation. And for that, I'm going to switch Bibles and go to the New American Standard. Verse 21. After my interpretation of this, I might have the Lutheran pastor not come back again. I don't know. We all agree on 99% of the same stuff, no matter who we are. We believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and there's only one way to heaven, and that's through him, and that's the only thing that matters. There's one way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, and I am the door. All who enter in by me will be saved. Am I right? That's what matters. Hallelujah. Now, verse 21. Now, corresponding to that, all right, corresponding to what? Who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared. Keyword, ark. In which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. Keyword, water. Now, corresponding to that, verse 20, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt, meaning not water. See, not the removal of dirt. Well, water's going to remove dirt from you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers have been subjected to him. All right. So does Peter mean, is he saying that water baptism saves us? Is that what he means by this? I would say no. Because it contradicts other verses in the Bible. Paul said, I thank God I haven't baptized any one of you, except for Crispus and Gaius and maybe a few others. And he said, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Baptism doesn't save you. But I hate to make light of it. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, all who believe and are baptized will be saved. So we believe that. We don't throw anything under the rug here. When you believe and call on the name of the Lord, you need to get baptized. But dunking you in the water or sprinkling you on the head, however you choose to do it, doesn't save you. Faith in Jesus Christ is what saves you. Not being baptized. Do you guys believe that, Greg? You teach the same way?
It'd take a little while to explain, but yeah, we're saved only through faith in Jesus Christ by grace in Him. But of course, there's a lot of language, salvation wise, than with respect to baptism. Like
yeah. Yeah, more to it.
So there's that, but we can talk about it another time.
One of these days, I'm going to have Pastor Greg come up and preach as well here. We'd love that. Okay. To properly understand this statement as well, we must see the typical meaning of the ark and the flood. The ark is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The flood of water depicts the judgment of God to destroy all mankind. Now, the ark was the only way of salvation. Now, when the flood came, only those that were inside the ark were saved. All those on the outside perished. So Christ, like the ark, is the only way of salvation. And this again from John MacArthur. He says, Peter is clearly not speaking about water baptism here, but rather a figurative immersion into union with Christ as an ark of safety from the judgment of God. All right, so to sum up here, Peter's teaching that Jesus is symbolic of the ark and the waters of the judgment of God. And all who are in the ark, or all those who are in Christ, shall be saved. The ark's a picture of that. What a scary thought that is. Of all the people in the world, only 8 were saved. 8? So with that in mind, are you in the ark today? Or are you on the outside looking in? I'll bet you whatever you'd like, because we'll never be around to me to pay you. I'll bet you whatever you like, that if you could find the ark today, it would look like the inside of a coffin of someone that was buried alive. Scratch marks. Scratch marks, if you didn't hear me. From those on the outside wanting to get in. The ark, if you find it today, I guarantee is full of scratch marks. Of people that didn't believe God at His word. People that didn't believe 120 years of preaching. Turn from your wicked ways and turn to Almighty God. And they laughed at him for 120 years. Scratch marks. Jesus himself says regarding salvation, many in Luke 13:24, many will try to get in, but will not be able. Many will try. And that is because once the door to the ark gets shut, then that's the end of your opportunity. Once the door gets shut, just like it did in the ark, that's Genesis 7:16. And let me leave you with this verse, then we're going to start that song. And we'll go out here with a song here this morning. Hebrews 3:7. It says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me and tried me, and they saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation, and I said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath that they should not enter my rest. So the question for you to ponder here this morning on this 18th day of April, 2021, are you inside the ark or are you on the outside? Inside. Praise God. Let's pray. Lord,
thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Have I told you about Boaters Exchange? Boaters Exchange is a family-owned boat store in Rockledge on US 1 right next to Rockledge Gardens. From Melbourne to Titusville, from Merritt Island to the beaches, Boaters Exchange serves the local community with boating supplies, boats, and world-class service as well. Boaters Exchange is a proud corporate sponsor and underwriter of the radio ministries of WMIE. They are available at 638-0090. Boaters Exchange was recently named one of the top 100 boat dealers in North America, and they are the only five-star dealer in Brevard. Once again, Boaters Exchange at 638-0090, 321-638-0090.
My salvation, my rock, my peace, my fortress strong, I will ever love and adore him. My salvation, my rock, my peace, my fortress strong, I will ever love and adore foundation.